Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays from Away podcast, episode 20, the Australia edition. There is still some baseball going on because it's summer down under. We'll talk to Matt Percy, stadium announcer for the Canberra Cavalry, about baseball in Australia and the Blue Jays prospects playing there. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays from Away podcast. Welcome to the latest edition of the Blue Jays from Away podcast. I have a very special guest. We are joined from very far away. We have Matt Percy, the stadium announcer for the Canberra Cavalry, on the line with us right now. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Great to be here.
Great. So if the fans don't know, I mean, we have been doing a fair bit of Australian Baseball League content at Blue Jays from Away following the four Toronto Blue Jays minor leaguers that we've had down there. One of them has come home since, I think, after around New Year's, he came home. Matt has been following the four Toronto Blue Jays prospects in Canberra, so he's going to tell us a little bit about them. But first, I wanted to ask Matt, you know, Australia is not the biggest place for baseball, so how does one get involved in baseball in Australia?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Baseball is obviously a summer sport. It's well behind some of the more established sports, in particular cricket and to a lesser extent soccer. However, it's starting to get a much bigger following thanks to the ABL, the Australian Baseball League, over the last four seasons. How I became involved is I've always actually been a big fan of baseball ever since I was a kid, watching when I could those late night games of baseball on TV. I'm a Boston Red Sox fan. And about prior to the opening season of the Australian Baseball League 4 years ago, I just responded to an online ad from the Canberra Cavalry looking for volunteers. My first season with the Cavalry was involved with some administrative duties. However, the wife of our initial manager, Steve Schrenk, his wife, Jen, now, Steve came over from the Phillies organization, and she contacted me prior to our second season and said, look, I think you've got the passion for baseball, which is one of the big things that you need to be a stadium announcer. So I took the job on, not knowing what was involved. And I'll tell you what, Mike, it's an absolutely full-on role, but it's a role that I love and probably a role that I don't want to give up anytime soon. So that's how I became involved in baseball.
Well, you know, I find with a lot of people that they're drawn to the game, of course, because they love it. I know from my experiences, I've done a lot of umpiring in my day, that there's a lot of softball in Australia, especially women's softball. I know the women's national team in Australia is very good.
Yes.
Have you seen a lot of people sort of transitioning into baseball who had been playing softball?
We see fans coming from all over the place. And yeah, softball is one of those sources for fans, because I do believe our Australian teams are pretty good, very good actually, in softball. I think the big thing for us is getting fans along to a game for the first time, because they don't understand it's such a fun spectator sport. And we get fans coming once and they want to come back again and again. And it's because of the fact that it's a nice quick game as compared to, say, cricket. So, you know, you see a game in 3 hours and all of those between innings entertainment. And we have a lot of those traditional American things like taking me out to the ballpark. We do a Sweet Caroline just like the Boston Red Sox do. And we have lots of entertainment, lots of kids doing games on the field in between innings. And we find it's great entertainment. People just want to come back.
Well, I've watched parts of some of the games on the internet broadcasts that the Cavalry have. And I've noticed that, you know, the job of the stadium announcer is a little bit more involved than it would be here in North America. In North America, the stadium announcer is mostly just announcing who is at bat, when there are pitching changes, and maybe some announcements to the crowd in between innings. But it seems like you've got a little bit more to do. You're explaining a lot of what's happening on the field once it's happened.
Absolutely, Mike. That's a couple of the additional roles that I have is explaining what's happened. A lot of our fans are brand new. A lot of the times we've got people coming to the game for the first time. So I will say that is a single or that's a double, and explaining to the fans what that means. Then there's also in between innings, doing a lot of promotions and a lot of the on-field entertainment, having a little bit of byplay between myself and one of our interns on the field, and getting some fan interaction that way. So it's a lot about explaining the game to people who don't know or haven't been to a game before, but it's also getting a fun atmosphere to the game as well. So it's a role that, as you say, is a little bit different to what it would be in the States, but it keeps you on your toes and keeps the night going really quickly.
Right. I've seen games from press boxes, and I've seen how the in-game announcers are really constantly on the move and constantly trying to stay on top of things, making sure they know who's in the game, who's being changed. I noticed in one game recently that the umpires had to come up to the scorer's booth to check to see if they had enough Australians on the field. So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about some of the roster rules that they might have, lineup rules that they might have that might be a little bit different in the Australian Baseball League?
Absolutely, and that was a very good example, Mike. In the Australian Baseball League, we've got cities from around Australia, and we have, as an example, on the weekend, we just played in Sydney. Now, Sydney has a population of 5 million people from which they can draw players from their local leagues, which I believe there are thousands of players playing baseball in Sydney, whereas Canberra, with a population of about 300,000, we're obviously got a lot less players playing. So there are restrictions for each team on the number of imports that you can have on the roster and also on the field at any one stage. So Canberra has we are allowed 14 of our 22 players to be imports. The majority of those come from either the minor leagues in the States, such as your Toronto boys, but also a lot of players from either independent ball, and we've even got players from the States who aren't playing baseball over there at all. However, we have an allowance for 14 imports on our roster. We also have to have we can only have 6 imports in our starting 9. So we need 3 local players or 3 Australians on our roster or on the field at any one time. Now those numbers come down for some of the bigger states and some of the states with more participating baseball players. So your Sydney Blue Sox and your Perth Heat, that I believe the restrictions come down to about 10 imports on their roster. So what happened the other day when the umpire came up to the booth, we were playing the Adelaide Bite, and they actually took an Australian out of the lineup and pinch ran him with an American. Now that meant that they actually had one too many imports on their roster. That was against the rules. I do believe they got a small fine for that. That was as far as it went. But there was a protest lodged by our manager in the fact that, yeah, they did have too many imports on the field at one time. So it's a little bit different there.
Right. And so some of the differences in numbers sort of levels the playing field for smaller cities, smaller areas. And I know Canberra is sort of its own state because it's the national capital.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a local league with 6 teams in it. We don't have that many players participating at a high level here in Canberra. So there is the situation where we do find it hard to find local players to play in for the Canberra Cavalry, whereas some of the bigger states have a lot more population to draw from. So it's a constant issue for us to find players who can play we are in the Australian Baseball League playing at a good level. And we do have some really good local players coming through. And the junior participation in baseball, thanks to the success of the Canberra Cavalry, is going to make that easier and easier in the coming years, because we're getting a lot more kids coming out to play. A lot of kids who normally 5 years ago may have gone and played cricket, who are now playing our game. So it's fantastic to see.
Well, that was kind of my next question was, you know, have you been able to see, and I guess the answer is yes, but have you been able to see a tangible increase in participation, I guess both at the grassroots, the youth level, as well as the adult level, in not just in Canberra, but also in Australia, as a result of the participation and the creation of the Australian Baseball League?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Locally, I'm down there on a Saturday morning when we play our local baseball, our youth baseball, and we have a lot more players down there at the moment, and I know that's the same around the country at the moment. I was only talking to Canberra's manager, the Canberra Cavalry manager, Michael Tubby Collins, on the weekend, asking him. He's been running some train with the Cavalry days with our local juniors, and the participation in that has doubled even from last year. Particularly for Canberra, we've had some success over the last 12 months, winning the National League and also winning the Asia Series over in Taiwan in November. And we've generated a lot of headlines, a lot of press through that, generated a lot of enthusiasm in the local baseball community. So it's really great to see. And it's probably not going to be for 5 or 6 or 7 years until we really see that flow through to the top team, to the Cavalry. But you can see it coming, Mike. You really can.
Well, I do want to get to the success that the Cavalry have had. But first, I just want to touch on some of the interesting geographic issues that playing in Australia has. With six
yes.
teams in the league and such a spread out population, very similar to Canada in many ways. How do these players deal with the travel? I know they only play Thursday through Sunday, but, you know, those have to be some very long bus rides in some cases.
Well, there are some large geographical barriers to overcome. The longest road trip in the league would be from Canberra to Perth, which is about a three to four hour plane ride. And you've got a 3 hour time difference. So it's probably like if you were traveling from Canada or Boston over to the West Coast, it's a big trip. For four games and, the players, it's a grind. Even though we only play 4 days a week, it really is a grind. I traveled up on a bus ride. It was about 3.5 hours from Canberra to Sydney by bus to watch some games on the weekend. And I can tell you that getting to the latter stage of the season, some of the boys are starting to get a little weary from the constant travel that they're forced to endure. A lot of it is by plane because we are so spread out here in Australia that bus rides are impossible. Obviously, you're not going to bus it to Perth. Brisbane is a 10-hour car ride away. So again, there's a plane involved there, but the travel is a big thing. And I can see that the boys, need to, have some rest over the next couple of days before our next big series coming up this weekend.
Well, we've been following along we've just noticed that the Cavalry did not have a good weekend in Sydney, losing 3 out of 4 games, and now they're tied in a 3-way tie for 2nd place, and only the top 3 teams make the playoffs, and we've got 2 weekends left. So how did they take that on the weekend?
Yeah, there was a couple of tough losses there, Mike. In particular, yesterday, the 4th game of the series went 12 innings, and it's taking a toll. We've not had a weekend off all season simply because the Cavalry went to the Asia Series in Taiwan as the champions of Australian baseball. So most other teams have had at least 1 weekend off in the course of the season. We haven't had that. So it is becoming a grind. A lot of the boys have got a few niggles, a few injuries. Unfortunately, we lost Shane Opitz back to Toronto with a sore shoulder. He could only DH for the last few series that he was here. And a number of the other boys are carrying some niggles. We're starting to get to the point in the season where we have players who have to go back to their real jobs. We had a great pitcher by the name of Nick Puglisi who, pitched really well all season for us. He's had to go back to the States today to take up his real job. So it's getting to the point in the season where 2 weeks to playoffs and we need some wins.
Right, and it's also getting closer and closer to spring training, which opens in the middle of February for the North American teams, and the guys like Jack Murphy as a catcher is probably going to have to be heading back to North America to report to spring training around February 17th. If the Cavalry do make the playoffs, that could be a really big wrench in the plan, yes, because he's been such a big part of the team's success.
Absolutely. Murphy, last season, we won the championship on the Sunday. Jack caught a plane first thing Monday morning out of Australia and reported to spring training on the Wednesday. So he went straight from a full season over here straight. He actually was invited to Major League spring training, I believe, last season. So he went straight there because, as we know, pitchers and catchers report early. So there was no real time off. And I know that that's got to take a toll. And depending on how we go, it'd be difficult to see the Toronto Blue Jays boys. If they had to go home early, that would be tough because they actually form a really core and key part of our team. So it will be interesting to see what roster moves need to happen over the coming weeks.
So let's talk about the players themselves. We already mentioned Shane Opitz. Let's talk about him first. So what did you see out of Shane? He played this year for the Class A teams, both the Lansing Lugnuts in the Midwest League and the Dunedin Blue Jays in the Florida State League, which is a little bit of a higher level. What did you see out of Shane this for us it's winter, but for you it's summer.
Yeah, it's summer. What I saw from Shane was a very, very good shortstop. Shane has a fantastic on-field and off-field relationship with John Birdie, and the shortstop second base work from those two was absolutely fantastic. And right from the outset, our fans, they possibly some of our fans are not as sophisticated fans as you would have in America, but instantly saw the report that those two had on the field. And I can see Shane, he hit the ball well, he batted in the two slot, he fielded well. He's a really core part of our team, and it was disappointing for him, I'm sure, as it was for us when he hurt his shoulder, I believe, just before Christmas, which relegated him into DH duties, and it really had an effect on the stability of the team. But look, I felt that Shane, sorry, Mike, I felt that Shane has a real future. He looked really good out there. As I said, sure hands at shortstop, really good shortstop.
Well, that's great to hear. And let's talk a little bit about his double play partner there, John Birdie. Birdie was with Dunedin last year. He spent the whole year there. And he actually won the Toronto Blue Jays internal organizational award for the most valuable player for that Dunedin team. He led the Florida State League in stolen bases by a long shot. And from what I can see, he's doing the same thing in Australia.
Mike, I've seen your personal top 20 prospects for the Toronto Blue Jays, and I don't have too much of a doubt that John Birdie's going to make that list this season at some stage. He probably is the fastest player I've seen out here in my time. Birdie's batting over 300, fantastic at second base. He's, as he said, he's stolen 25 bases in 38 games. He actually broke the league season record for stolen bases 3 weeks ago, and he steals them whenever he wants. And you can see the opposition catchers nearly giving up at this stage of the season. He commands a lot of respect once he gets to first base, which is quite often. So, Mike, the combination of the glove, the bat, the patience, he's walked. I'm looking at the stats here right now. He's walked 26 times. He's struck out 10 times. He's got the package. And the best thing I can tell you about John Birdie, Mike, is every time I get to the ballpark, which is early, I'm always seeing Birdie working on something. So I've said to you, and I'll tell you this now, Mike, within the next 18 months, I can see John Birdie playing a game in the major leagues. I believe he's that good.
Well, that's definitely some encouraging words to hear. I really think that he could be on the verge of really taking a lot of people by surprise. I actually haven't seen him play much. I saw him a little bit in spring training last year, and I'll be down there again in March this year. But the reports I've heard about him are excellent, both defensively and he's obviously not going to be the type of hitter to hit 30 home runs, but he's definitely an excellent contact hitter, and he definitely has an ability to get on base And yes. That's where he can really do a lot of damage.
The speed really is game changing. He has batted, he's led off all season long. I can't think of too many times where he hasn't led off or played because he's that vital. He's also versatile. We've had some injuries. As I said, Opitz was injured. We had a few other injuries. So he's played some center field as well. He's played some shortstop. But as I said, the speed will translate as he goes up the ladder there over in Toronto. And I think he will surprise some people this year. I think you can see the confidence building as he's gone along through his Australian Baseball League campaign. It's been lovely to see. Great to see.
Well, and confidence is really such a big part of, you know, playing a game at a high level is believing in yourself and believing that you can do it and you are as good as anybody else on the field. And I can see John moving up in level next year to double A, and that really puts him in a very nice, within striking distance of the major leagues. In Toronto, there really isn't a replacement, or there really isn't a top of the line second baseman on the team.
Yes.
They've got a couple of guys who were, Mycerus Touris was very disappointing last year in many respects.
Yes.
And Ryan Goins was excellent with the glove, but he's never really been a great hitter at any level. The Blue Jays are definitely hoping that he can step in with the bat next year and really see some improvement. But, if Birdie's in double A next year, there's definitely a chance that he's within striking distance of the majors for 2015. If not, you know, we don't want to wish any injuries on anybody, but
no,
you never know that, you know, that could help open a spot for him. And another guy who seems to be increasing his confidence a lot is Michael Krause. And Krause is obviously a favorite for us because he's a Canadian boy. And it's his first winter or summer down in Australia. What have you seen out of him?
Well, Michael Krause is becoming one of the fan favorites down here. And I can tell you this weekend at the ballpark, you'll have to tune in. I believe it might be Friday night. We have Canadian night at the ballpark this week. And that's going to be celebrating all things Michael Krause, which is good to see. We've already had a Jack Murphy night, so it's Krause's turn. What I see from Krause is a really big dude, a really big guy, and he's got a ton of power. Now, I saw Krause, he cranked the longest home run I've seen in our ballpark. He flew the 400-foot fence by a mile. And if he can translate that, if he can continue to build his confidence, as you're saying, continue to improve, I can see some big things happening from Krause because he's athletic, he's fast, and he can hit the ball a ton.
Well, we definitely like his tools, his raw abilities. We're still waiting for him to be able to put it all together in order to really excel against live pitching and at better competition levels. But
yes.
Seeing what he's been doing so far in the Australian League is definitely very encouraging, especially to see the power really start to come along, because I have seen him take batting practice, and he can hit the ball a long way, but he really hasn't put it all together in league play just yet. So that's definitely very encouraging. What's he been like in the outfield? Which position has he been playing in the outfield?
He predominantly played center field for the first half of the year. He did actually tweak a hamstring just before Christmas, which has really, I think, affected some of his numbers. So whilst he's putting up some good numbers, he has been slowed down for the last month or so with a hamstring. He was out of the lineup for a series for four games. And when he came back, he's played some left, he's played some right. He was back in center field over the weekend. I saw him, unfortunately we did lose in extra innings yesterday. However, he did cut down a guy at the plate to save the game in the bottom of the ninth with an outfield assist, which was an absolute bullet. He really showed off his arm there. And I just think that a summer out here working on his game, I think that's going to hold him in good stead when he hits spring training this season. And I'm going to be personally keeping a very close eye on Krause. I'd like to, as you say, see him put it all together, because when he does, you'll see a player, a center fielder with speed and with power.
Well, that's what we all hope to be able to see, and for him to be a Canadian and one of our own, I guess, is always makes us even more excited to see what he's going to do. And so this brings us to the last guy who I've been calling the Australian national hero, because I've heard things from down under that have, you know, people have just fallen in love with Jack Murphy, and the fact that he always seems to be able to come up with a big hit when the game is on the line, with two home runs in the semifinal and the final of the Asia series to help Canberra win that tournament.
Jack Murphy is the Canberra local hero. It's amazing. Normally we get imports to come out for one season and they work on their game and they go back to the States and are hoping to go from there. I believe Jack just had to come back. He captured the imagination of the Canberra baseball people, the crowd, last season. The long hair, the long mustache, such a great guy, a great player. The fans over here love him. As I said, we had Jack Murphy night at the ballpark. We had free mustache giveaways. We had people coming dressed as Jack Murphy. It was fantastic. But to put all that aside, the reason why they do love him, they see how much he puts into the game, into his own game. He catches a great game. He's so confident. He, I believe, helps his pitching staff first and foremost. And then secondly, he's got that ability, as you said, to come through under pressure. The Asia series where Murphy in the semi-final hit two of the longer home runs you'll see. It was a very hard stadium over there in Taichung in Taiwan to get the ball out of the park. And Murphy cleared the fences when it mattered and cleared them easily. So yeah, he really is the Canberra fan favorite, this guy.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just looking things over and just, on Friday, he went 5 for 5 and has really been hot lately, hasn't he?
He sure has. He's got his average up to 330. He's, as you said, went 5 for 5. He's always doing something, Murphy. And as I said, the great thing about him is he spends so much time with his pitching staff. He spends time mentoring the other catchers in the squad. And he's just a presence, unlike many ball players you'll come across. He really is the leader.
So before we go, I just want to ask you a couple things. First of all, have you ever been to baseball games in North America?
I surely have. I have been to Tropicana Field, and I was there in the year 2000, and I saw Pedro Martinez pitching for the Red Sox throw 8 1/3 no-hit innings. Unfortunately, got broken up with a bloop single over the first baseman's head, but I saw a game there. I also went to see the Arizona Diamondbacks in Phoenix there, and I was at that stadium as well. Unfortunately, the story that to this day haunts me, Mike, is I had dinner right next to Fenway Park one night and didn't know that there was games on that night, so didn't manage to get a ticket. So I sat eating dinner within a couple of 100 meters of Fenway Park, could hear the noise, could see the stadium lights, but wasn't able to go in.
Well, that park really sells out. I actually lived in Boston for 2 years, and one of those years I lived literally just across the street from Fenway Park, and it was a zoo on game days, but it was a fantastic experience because you knew when the Red Sox were in town because the cars were parking everywhere and the lights were on and you could hear the crowd from the park. And
yes,
it was a tremendous city to be a fan. But how do the Australian audiences, how do the Australian crowds compare to the ones that you've seen in America?
Our audiences are absolutely fantastic, I must say. Our fans make a lot of noise. They are becoming, after 4 seasons, much more knowledgeable and thankfully making the noises at the right times. Though they are quite fanatical. As I said, look, we took a bus of fans to Sydney on the weekend to see the Sydney Blue Sox play our Canberra Cavalry. We had a fan turn up with a box of 100 cowbells. So we were ringing cowbells the whole game. There was chants and cheers for each Canberra batter that came up to bat, individually organized for each player. And there was noise being made for the whole game long. So it was a fantastic experience. And we try and bring that to the game at Canberra each and every game and try and ensure that people want to come back. So they're good crowds, good fun.
That definitely sounds like something that I would love to do. And when it's cold, and it's been very cold here in Toronto this winter, but I, you know, getting down to Australia, because I know that the fans in Toronto, for the most part, are pretty subdued and pretty laid back, and they don't make a lot of noise unless something happens. So it would be great to come down and see a ball game in Australia.
Absolutely. And I do believe it's been very cold there, and I can tell you for this weekend series, the forecast is for 40 degrees each day, which is about 110 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's going to be nice and hot down here for the last home series of the season.
Well, that's almost as difficult to play in as the minus 20 degree weather we've had here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be hot.
Well, we'll let you get going, but thank you so much for joining us. That's Matt Percy. He is the stadium announcer for the Canberra Cavalry from the Australian Baseball League. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mike. Been a pleasure.
And that's all for this edition of the Blue Jays from Away podcast. Come on back soon and go Jays go.